compared to any other study I've seen, this is the largest ever increase in tax returns. Just the experiment generated close to $1 million.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. A lot of low-income countries struggle to collect tax revenue, and that has negative impacts on economic stability, debt, growth, even basic services as well. Improving tax compliance, it's important, urgent, but it's extremely hard to do. A recent experiment to increase tax revenues in Ethiopia has had encouraging outcomes, but it's also highlighted the problems when you implement any long-run policy to increase tax revenues. Abebe Shimelis of the African Economic Research Consortium was one of the researchers, and he's with me now. Welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thank you, Tim. Pleasure to be here, and thank you for the opportunity.
You are very welcome. Now, Abebe, I said collecting tax is very hard to do in low-income countries. How low are tax revenues in low-income countries?
Yeah, thank you, Tim. The statistics we have for the low-income countries is about 15% of GDP on the average, with significant variation also between the low-income countries, the lowest being 5% of GDP, and those with a little bit of good efforts, around 20%. And when you compare it with developed countries, it's almost twice less than what developed countries are collecting. So it's really indeed very low.
Why do governments find it so difficult to collect tax?
I think there are two reinforcing factors that prevent low-income countries, governments, from enhancing their tax efforts and collect more revenue. One is the low capacity of governments, which has been said many times, institutional tax administration, tax structure, and also knowing the taxpayers. But the other part is also the economic structure. In most, at least low-income countries, particularly in Africa, the sectors are hard to tax. These are low-earning subsistence economies where people just manage to survive. So it is an untaxable income when you think of it by the standards of minimum wages or by the standards of poverty. People's income, the average person's income, is really close to the minimum to meet basic needs. So it would be difficult to reach out and tax that large segment of the population. And then, of course, there is the leakages in the tax administration.
I note from the paper that many people don't pay tax and think it's okay not to pay tax because they believe that when they pay tax, that money is going to be stolen or wasted. How difficult is it to change this?
Ha, Tim, it's very hard to persuade people to pay taxes.
Yes.
Anywhere else in the world, and particularly in low-income countries. I refer to you a recent survey conducted by the Afrobarometer around 33 countries. And they just asked the perception of citizens towards paying taxes, simply asking them, is it right or wrong to pay taxes? And one third of the respondents say it's wrong to pay taxes. And they would not pay if they had even a chance to pay. And then they were asked a series of questions regarding the state of trust they have in their government. And then you could see there is almost large percentage of people don't trust their governments, and they consider most of them to be corrupt. So we tried in another paper to see if there is this correlation between perception of citizens regarding tax compliance and their perception towards government authorities. And you find a very strong association, which underneath tells you that in the whole scheme of things, taxpayers really need to trust their governments. So that is a segment lacking in which we tried to address in our paper.
In this paper, you tested strategies to improve tax compliance in Ethiopia. Specifically in Ethiopia, are there low revenues because there's a lack of state capacity, that there's low enforcement of the law, or is it because people just choose not to pay?
Yeah, Tim, I think it's both. Ethiopia relatively has had a slightly different experience when it comes to relationship between the state and the citizens. Mm-hmm. Because of a long-running tradition of having a central government. Still, the tax authority in Ethiopia is highly feared, and a lot of people don't want to mess with this institution. Because once you are in their radar, you are really, really in big trouble. It's very difficult to dislodge yourself. The other part is, of course, the citizens' lack of trust on government, especially businesses, they don't feel they are treated equally by the tax authorities. So depending how close you are with tax authority officials, especially when you include tribal segments into the whole thing, then it becomes a cat and mouse issue.
So what strategies did you test to try and improve tax compliance?
Actually, it was a very interesting strategy we came up with. Actually, it didn't even come from us. It came from the tax authorities themselves.
Okay.
They told us if you want to study tax compliance in Ethiopia, they would rather prefer to know the behavior of taxpayers. They want to know how much they trust the government and how much, for instance, persuasion can work instead of threats and coercion. Then we set up an experiment where we channeled information on persuasion, a very nice, decent letter from the revenue authority praising the treatment group, how good citizens they are, and the other group, a very strong statement on threats that the revenue authority people would do an audit, and then a control group. So we dispatched close to 5,000 letters in the capital just about the time when they were ready to file their tax returns. So we didn't give them also enough time so that businesses would call each other and say, did you hear, you know, we got this letter from the revenue authority, etc. So we didn't give them enough time to do a kind of what you call in experimental economics, a contamination of your treatment. So that's how we did it.
I should point out, baby, we're speaking to you today. You're in Nairobi at the moment. If anyone can hear some background noises, those are authentic noises from Nairobi. So the persuasion group letter, it was a nice letter. It was encouraging people to pay. And the compliance group was a threatening letter and telling them that they would be in trouble with this feared tax authority if they didn't pay.
Yes, the threat letter emphasized the penalties for evading taxes. A very detailed white paper was attached with the letter that included terms of imprisonment for a small infringement. And the business community even didn't know it existed. That's also part of the power of this experiment. A lot of people didn't even know the country's tax evasion penalties. So that letter was scary even for us when we looked at it. For a small amount, like maybe £100, you could go to prison for 5 years.
Oh my.
Yeah. And I think that shocked a lot of the recipients. On the other hand, when it comes to those groups where we sent persuasion letter, it was written in a spirit of patriotism and telling them now, you know, Ethiopia has evolved and become a very progressive country. It has improved its infrastructure. It has improved public services, so many schools, hospitals, and other achievements, and especially, you know, the grand renaissance. But also we put in an incentive structure that if they continue to be loyal taxpayers, then they will have a holiday of audits. That means they will not be audited for the next five, whatever years. They would get also priority in submitting their tax returns, etc. So there were a list of incentives given to us by the revenue authority for loyal taxpayers. So we dispatch those letters. And unlike many also experiments, we did it by hand. We didn't mail it to make it very, very important. And in Ethiopia, and that was the first time ever a revenue authority had written a letter to any business person. There was never prior to that any communication by mail, etc. So that was really a big shock to businesses when the letter was hand delivered, sealed, and then we had to make sure, like FedEx and DHL, they need to sign upon receipt. And, you know, we made it sound really a very serious message. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when someone turned up on the doorstep of these businesses with either the appeal to progressive patriotism or what seems like a really horrible threat, how much extra compliance did each of these methods create?
Compared to any other study I've seen, this is the largest ever increase in tax returns. I think the revenue authority, they told us just the experiment generated close to $1 million extra income from the sample. In terms of percentage, we got 38% increase by those who received the letter of threat and 32% by those who received the letter of persuasion. And the control group actually slightly declined their tax returns during the period we studied. So when we presented this study to the revenue authorities, they were thrilled. I mean, the first thing that came to their mind was how much tax evasion had in the country had been.
Well, yes.
Yeah, for the scale of evasion, almost that means with little effort, they could double the tax revenue collection. The other part also that made them really worried was why these people who received the persuasion letter even managed to pay more, even though they were told they had been loyal taxpayers. And intuition tells you that if you receive that letter, then you just continue to do what you had been doing. So one of the things the revenue authority people told us was the letter, regardless of the content of the message, really told the taxpayers, now they are under the watchful eyes of the revenue authority. Regardless of what was said, they increase their tax returns.
Is that why we think they worked? Is because it showed people that someone was aware of them, that they were being watched?
Exactly. Actually, you are spot on, Tim. That's a big brother is watching you kind of thing. And knowing how the courts are not very friendly to people who evade taxes, they really can hit you hard.
Even if Big Brother is being nice to you at the moment, Big Brother is watching you. Do we know whether that effect lasted then in that case? Because if there's not another letter, I suppose people might decide that Big Brother wasn't watching anymore.
Exactly, Tim. I think the beauty of this experiment is also to tell us to what extent the letters made a difference. Since nothing followed through, after a year, we went back to the tax administration documentation and found out that all groups, the control and treatment groups, reported the same amount of taxes. Basically, they went back to where they were. So the experiment didn't lead to a long-term effect.
On Fox Dev Talks, we sometimes ask our interviewees to be a policymaker for a day. I can't imagine that there is a long queue to be the person who has the job of ensuring tax compliance in Ethiopia. But say you got that job for the day. What would you do if your job was to sustain that change in behavior that we saw in the first year?
I think three lessons from the experiment. One is it becomes apparent that continuous engagement with taxpayers is important. Sharing of information on what has been achieved in terms of public services, but most importantly also the efforts governments make to combat corruption, improve transparency. For instance, governments should open up their budgets to the public like it is done in many countries. When parliament approves, people should know where the bulk of the money is going, which sectors of the economy, and also assurances that all taxpayers are treated equally, which means if taxpayers have the perception that some groups close to government authorities tend to benefit from, an oversight, that they are not scrutinized as much as other people, and people don't feel they are targeted, then I think there is a genuine interest to pay taxes by the public. The other is also I think improving the state capacity mm-hmm. to administer taxes. Nowadays, information technology is really revolutionized tax authorities throughout Africa. You'll be surprised to see filing of taxes online, and tax administration has become less costly, but mm-hmm. also transparency of information. That means the revenue authorities really open their doors, and they need to be open to media, for instance, private people, let's say, how much this guy has paid. They should be able to tell, yes, he paid us X amount. So which means there is a degree of transparency that can increase voluntary tax compliance. And finally, I think it's the tax structure. In many African countries, including Ethiopia, some of the tax rates is absolutely discouraging. Yeah. Let's say if you want to import a car in Ethiopia today, you pay 200% taxes. So the government literally creates the incentive to evade taxes. So rationalizing tax rates, what's the optimal tax rate? That makes people to have a disincentive not to go the other route. Instead, just go directly, pay your taxes, and go home. All this require a revisit, and I believe that is a recommendation we have made.
This is a challenge, as you say, all over Africa, all over low-income countries, and let's be honest, in the rest of the world as well. It's not very often we report on interventions that make such good profit. Thank you for talking about it today.
Thank you so much, Tim, and a pleasure. And it's a nice location. Of course, you see the birds singing.
Yes. I'm sorry that the people listening to this can't see this. It looks like you're in a terrific location. Great to have the sound effects. Baby, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much, Tim.
The paper is called Threats of Audits and Tax Morale in Africa, Evidence from Randomized Field Experiment in Ethiopia. And the authors are Abebe Shimelis, Daniel Gurara, and Firu Woldais. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform and also follow Vox Talks Economics on Instagram, and then you'll get previews and clips of our new episodes.